Hello readers, welcome to the Spirit edition of January 2023. A Happy New Year. Dear readers, to me, opportunities are beginnings, like the feeling when you start a new book and realize that it is awesome and that there is so much left to enjoy. It's the feeling at the beginning of senior year, knowing there's a whole year to appreciate, the feeling of slicing a pizza that's fresh out of the oven, and putting it on a plate when you're so hungry and ready for good food syndrome. When good food makes you laugh at everything or burns your leg rapidly. Opportunity appears often in the most unexpected quarters. Even in my limited experience, there are myriad instances where a surprising possibility leads to a special reward. For instance, when Naveen and I began Neuroscience Club remotely during the pandemic, it was honestly a bit painful, fascinating but hard to have limit our meetings to sharing PowerPoints with cool brain facts. It took time, creativity and especially a wonderful encouraging mentor, Mr. Brown, to really bring the club to life. Our once enjoyable yet prim meetings have become some of the most unruly but fantastic learning experiences I've ever had. This year, I'm thrilled to welcome the opportunity to put in work for the rewards we will find in the process. Love, Editor John. Opportunity is dressed in overalls and looks like work. Thomas Edison. Quote of the month, January 2023. The Brain Initiative by Janu. Have you ever admired the stars during a dark night? It's humbling, astounding to see the vast darkness stretching out forever around you, with countless stars sparkling above. I've always admired astrophotography, capturing endless arrays of brilliant stars far, far away. Now consider, our brains have more neurons than there are stars in the sky. Ralitza Petrova calls the brain our huge biological motherboard. We are still trying to understand how the wiring of that motherboard works. The brain research through advancing innovative neurotechnologies, brain, Initiative is one concentrated effort by the National Institutes of Health to revolutionize our understanding of the human brain. In Heart of Darkness by Joseph Conrad, explorer Charlie Marlowe describes his childhood fascination with the empty parts of the map. I'm inspired with a similar curiosity, but for the one of the today's greatest mysteries, that of the human brain. Scientists of the Brain Initiative have helped advance imaging techniques, now measuring brain activity in animals up to 3,000 times per second, invented technology to control prosthetic limbs in real time, and identified neurons responsible for torpor. Researchers are asking more difficult questions, such as how do patterns of neural activity in the brain control thoughts, feelings, and movements? Progress in neuroscientific research can be credited to immense interdisciplinary effort, merging the work of neuroscientists, biologists, chemists, engineers, and physicians. Spirit Athletics, Logan Eggleston, a happy ending. Logan Eggleston is a senior at the University of Texas, Austin, majoring in management, plays volleyball, and she's the best in it. As a captain, she carried the Longhorns volleyball team all the way to the top of the national championship. Yes, the UT Longhorns are the 2022 NCAA Division I Women's National Champions after a decade-long wait. She is the 2022 AVCA Player of the Year and the most outstanding player of the NCAA Championship. The quest for the championship started way back when she was just 14 years old and decided to quit playing basketball and started volleyball. Her dad, Stan Eggleston, was a former college basketball player and a high school coach. On that day, she won the one-on-one hoop for the first time against her dad, handed the ball to him and said, "I'm done with basketball and want to play volleyball." Logan's coach, Barbara Campbell at Brentwood High School, Tennessee, noticed her talent and introduced her to Jeff Wismer, a club coach. The rest was history. She was named the most valuable player and best server with the U.S. Women's Junior National Team in 2018, led the Brentwood High School team to the state championship in 2015, 2016 and 2017, and the Tunisian Volleyball Player of the Year 2016 and 2017. While the national top NCAA programs showed huge interest in Logan, she was convinced by UT volleyball coach Jarrett Elliott to skip senior year at high school and join the Longhorns in 2018. Her talent, combined with dedication towards the sport, started yielding success very early. She was a Big 12 Freshman of the Year 2018. In 2019, AVCEA First Team All-American, Big 12 Conference Player of the Year, and Scholar Athlete of the Year. Her Longhorns played the COVID-19 delayed 2020 National Championship game and lost to Kentucky. Her desire and the quest to bring the NCAA title to UT increased, and the pressure too, as her collegiate career was getting closer to an end. The overall number one seed Longhorns defeated Louisville 3-0 on December 15 to win the 2022 NCAA National Championship and brought the happy ending to Logan's decorated collegiate career. The Hasty Wish, short story by Jano. Inspired by the story first printed in June 2020 and a reader request. It was a cold morning in May. I shivered as I pulled on a heavy knit pullover. By all accounts, it should have been sunny, but the weather in Strawbridge is unpredictable, yet uniformly bad. In addition to being cold, I was also very nervous. It was the day of our final exams, the culmination of a year's worth of study, which we would trade for glory or disgrace. Perhaps I was over-dramatizing the situation. All the same, as I pulled to my Oxford loafers, I felt a thrill of mingled fear and anticipation. Today, we would test our competence in math, science and grammar, three hefty subjects that could throw their weight around my report card. Feeling pensive and hungry, I started my fateful walk to school. Passing drab storefronts on the empty cobblestone main road, I found myself so absorbed in a fidgety nervousness that I nearly missed Newton's candies. I stopped short, staring up at the thin, tall building sandwiched between two chocolatey brown bookstores. I found myself unsure why I was dilly-dallying until I heard my stomach grumble. Candy! I'd have candy for breakfast. Mr. Newton, a wannabe inventor who looked rather like a willowy Santa Claus, was busy repainting his shop, a vibrant train engine red. I paused. Now I decided to stop for candy. I felt that I needed the sugar, but he did look rather preoccupied. Without turning around, he said, "Go ahead in, Hubert." Mrs. Newton's at the counter. Astonished, I asked him how he'd known it was me. Reflected in the store window's sun, embarrassed, I hurried past and entered the store. Brightly colored boxes of sweets lined the shelves. Candy apple green, sharp royal blue, multicolored stripes, sparkling drops in gold, silver and purple, filling glass bottles with threw rainbow reflections around the walls. Pounds and pounds of chocolate, white chocolate and caramel, weighed down the wooden racks. I tried to admire all of the offerings, but I was wrapped in my thoughts about school. The sun was beginning to break through the clouds, and the day's weather seemed to be improved. I wish I was invisible, I said to myself. That would be the perfect solution. I could wander wherever I pleased, no questions asked. I wish I was invisible, I repeated gloomily, and scowled at a tin of vibrant chocolate-covered sunflower seeds, which seemed too festive for the still dullish day in May. What do you think I am, boy, a fairy godmother? The portly Mrs. Newton was smiling kindly at me from behind the counter, and I hadn't realized I'd spoken out loud, or that I had approached the counter. She rummaged around the shelves for a moment with an indulgent, thoughtful expression. Here you go. You look tired. Not too much candy in the morning, mind. Have these for free and come back after school exams so you can properly enjoy the ones you want. I thanked her and took off down the street, popping the gingery yellow sweets in my mouth. The faint gingery spice and the burst of sugar in the sticky candies renewed my energy, and I walked into the school building feeling better about the exams that afternoon. I was also happier after my tasty treat and waved cheerily at the secretary, Mrs. Winkle. Mrs. Winkle did not wave back. I was surprised, but also late, so I suppose it was for the best that she hadn't noticed me. Students were hurrying to reach their classrooms, and many bumped into me on my way to class. No one apologized or even looked up, and a few looked confused when I spoke up to excuse myself for running into them. I suppose that it was because everyone was stressed and dazed from exam preparation. When I reached my classroom, I grinned at my friend Robert and held out the last piece of the yellow sweet. He ignored me. I frowned and poked him. Robert looked startled and gazed around. I tried to get his attention and hissed his name several times, but he never saw me, staring all around him stupidly. "Hello, Robert," I said louder. "I'm right here. Yep, it's me, the guy you've known your whole life, who's holding out a bright yellow piece of candy up to you." Robert glanced up warily. "Hubert, is that you?" he whispered. I was slightly miffed. "Yes, of course. Now would you take the candy before it melts in my hand?" Robert looked surprised as he looked at the piece of candy I was holding, but he blinked and lifted his hand very slowly towards it. "Why is it floating?" That's when I realized that I was invisible. I dropped the candy and nearly yelled in horror. I was invisible. That was why no one could see me. I was invisible. "Hey, where are you, Hubert?" Robert reached around there, far my left, and waved his arm around. I grabbed his shoulder and shook him. He jumped and shrieked. The student around us looked at him curiously. "So you're really invisible?" I nodded, but of course he couldn't see me. I explained my story all the way walking to school, to my feeble wish for invisibility to getting the candy. Robert gasped. "It must be the candy. Old Newton told me last week he was making an invisibility sweet just for kicks, but I thought he was joking. Go back and ask him for help." Mr. Watson, the math teacher, hurried to the room. "Silence, Brown," he said coldly, staring at Robert with one good eye. "Stop talking to yourself." "I'm not," said Robert excitedly. "It's Hubert Johnson. He's invisible." The class tittered. Mr. Watson's glare deepened. "If Johnson's absent, just say so. Cease your lollygagging, Brown." Robert tried again to say that I was invisible. Mr. Watson didn't believe him and simply said I wasn't there. I tried to tell him, but he barked at Robert and told him to stop mimicking my voice. "Enough rubbish," Mr. Watson shouted at last. "Another word from you, Brown, and you'll find yourself in detention for a week. Now all open your textbooks to page 17. All through the morning, Mr. Watson was convinced that I was absent. I knew I had to do something soon. I had to be visible for the afternoon testing. At lunch, all students went home to eat and had 20 minutes to rest before lunch classes began. I ran back to the candy store with my eyes on the road in case Mr. Newton was out and about. Fortunately, he was behind the counter at the store. I hurried in frantic, banging at the door and hearing the doorbell jangle behind me. "Mr. Newton," I cried. "Help, I'm invisible." Mr. Newton looked at me and then at Mrs. Newton. "Hubert?" Mrs. Newton nodded. "He wished to be invisible," she said, beaming. And I thought, how better to test your new candy? The Newtons danced a jig for joy. "It works," he cried. "It works. Hello," I said, irritated. "Hello, hello. Excuse me. Hello, hello." "Terribly sorry for the fright, Hubie," said Mr. Newton, smiling. "Here's the antidote. We owe you some candy. Come by this afternoon." I'd already seized the fudgy sticks he proffered and sped off down the road. As I ran, I stuffed the fudge into my mouth, gulping air between mouthfuls. As I passed the first stoplight, none of the busy bicyclists stopped for me. However, as I munched the fudge and ran on, I noted that more and more people were reacting to me. At the second light, only two bicyclists seemed to stop. By the third light, traffic stopped for me, just as it did for other students walking to school. Coat and bag flapping, breathless, red-faced and full of fudge, I ran back to the school just in time for the exam. "Late as usual, Johnson," said Mr. Watson venomously. "I expect Brown is happy now, though." Robert grinned at me. "It's all right?" I nodded. "We can go to Newton's after school for the proper sweets this time." "Right," said Robert. "And don't wish to be invisible either." Mr. Watson trained his one good eye with fury on the class. "Begin the exam." Wellness Center, Flee from the Flu Season by Janu. It's a very cold time of the year, but it doesn't have to be. Healthy habits practiced and applied can reduce the spread and impact of influenza and common cold. Avoid close contact, especially when you or another person is sick. Keeping a distance during sickness can help others stay healthy. This also goes for staying home when you're not feeling well, if possible. Rest is helpful for oneself, and staying home reduces risk of exposure for others. Cover your mouth and nose. Sneeze or cough into a tissue that covers the mouth and nose. This prevents the spread of germs. Airborne droplets spread flu viruses. So covering the mouth and nose is important to prevent the spread of illness. Clean hands. Wash hands often and well. Hand sanitizer is a good alternative when it isn't possible to wash hands immediately. Soap and water is best when dealing with food, using the restroom, or treating a cut or injury. Hand sanitizer shouldn't be used when hands are visibly dirty. Scrub hands for 20 seconds. Germs from unwashed hands can be transferred. Good habits. Get enough sleep, drink sufficient fluids, and eat healthy. Fruit of the month. Goji berry, the yogi berra of the fruit world. Yogi Berra was a baseball great and Cooperstown Hall of Famer, renowned for his 10 World Series rings and the yogiisms like "it ain't over till it's over." Goji berry bears more than a strong resemblance to his name. Also known as Ulf berry, goji berries are tiny red fruits and rich sources of antioxidants. They are often consumed in powdered or dried form. Known for their sweet but slightly sour flavor and part of many supplements, they can be swapped for other dried fruits in your cereal bowl. Goji berries have been used traditionally to enhance natural immunity, given its antioxidant properties and high vitamin A, vitamin C content. Research shows that it helps to improve eye health and protect against macular degeneration. It also helps to protect the retina and lens of the eye against damage. Goji berry helps to reduce diabetic blood glucose and control blood pressure. According to a 30-day study in older adults, drinking 4 ounces of goji berry juice per day increased levels of immune cells and improved general feelings of well-being. The charming, vivid crimson color of the berry is one cereal is another benefit of introducing goji berry to your diet. Have recipes or fruit suggestions? Let's know at editorjanu@thehappyherald.org. George Thought Reviews, Heart of Darkness, A Slow Walk Through Humanity's Ethos. Heart of Darkness, I ejaculated, dropping my head to my desk. I just don't want to read a sad book. It isn't sad, is it? My English teacher paused reflectively. I mean, it isn't called Heart of Joy for a reason. Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness, as I was told, is not a page-turner. It had remained in literature's collective psyche for years because of the gritty moral questions it forces on the reader. Lord of the Flies on steroids, as a wise person described it. The book's plot is simple. Charlie Marlowe, the captain of a steamship, curious and full of wanderlust, travels from the Congo River in Africa in the peril of a company dealing in ivory. It's a nasty business, and he meets some nasty characters. The unsettling god figure Kurtz is especially important to me. It's an important one. To this book, however, plot is unimportant. Conrad jabs the reader with uncomfortably reflective questions. Do people behave nobly only out of a fear of retribution? When living in a system free of rules, does the worst of the human nature come out? In other words, does evil live inside people, barely suppressed by society standards? It's a cynical view, but it's up to the reader to define the truth. Heart of Darkness is a difficult read, but a deeply meaningful one. As Mr. Clements said, it will make every book you read after seem light. Fine art includes an aerial view of San Diego, Midway, and the skates on ice. Are you an artist, poet, photographer, or writer? Send us your artwork, composition, photography to see it featured in a future edition of The Spirit. Email editorjanu@thehappyherald.org with inquiries. Letters to the Editor. Dear Janu, this is probably a strange request, but I was reading previous editions of Spirit to compare the covers of magazines, which, by the way, are stunning. When I read one of your wonderful short stories in June 2020, the cover of that edition is a beautiful purplish peach. The story is called Never Wish to Be Invisible. Can you reprint it? I want to read again, perhaps in your increasingly mature voice as the author. But as more subscribers read the paper, I thought more people should read that story. It's a sweet children's tale and I loved it. Nina. Dear editor and readers, Happy New Year. Happy 2023. Glad to be part of this family, doing this good work. NJ. I loved and truly appreciated your reflection about Pramukh Swami Maharaj. I am so curious about other people's views on faith, religion, recent moral ideas, and it was lovely to hear you share such a great aspect of yours. JP. E. Old Folk Tales. The Frogs in the Milk. Retold and adapted by Naveen. Once upon a time, two frogs lived in a pond. They enjoyed the water when it was hot, but could not survive if they were fully underwater, because they could not breathe. One day it began to rain. The rain normally stopped after a short while, but that day it kept raining. The pond overflowed and the frogs had nowhere to go. They eventually hopped into a house in the village. Finding some flies in the pantry, they were exploring that room when suddenly a packet they were standing on began to slide off the shelf. The frogs tumbled into a pot filled with milk. The frogs tried to climb out of the pot but kept sliding back into the milk since the sides of the pots were very slippery and steep. We just have to wait here for a while, and when the human comes to use the pot, they'll see us and let us out, said the first frog hopefully. The other frog agreed, and the pair began to treadmill and swim in the pot. After a long time, nobody came to save them, and they were growing tired. I think I'll give up. Nobody will save us in time, and we are going to drown anyway, said the second frog. The first frog managed to convince him not to give up and just swim a little longer. A while later, the second frog again attempted to give up, but the first frog persuaded his friend to continue swimming. A few hours later, the second frog said, I'm not going to swim anymore. You're going to drown sooner or later since nobody's coming to help us. He gave up and sank and drowned in the milk. The first frog continued to swim. Not even 10 minutes later, he felt something solid under his feet. It was butter. The two frogs had been swimming for so long that the milk had been turning into butter. The first frog swam and renewed vigor till all the milk became butter. This allowed him to escape the pot and he hopped away. Moral, never give up. Instant Karma, a spirit cartoon by Tambu. Look, Hambo, a lucky machine prize. Get out of the way, Jimbo. I will go first. There was a good lucky toy winner. They puts in and he gets it. I win. I got a little poo-shaped keychain. It's your turn now. Wow, I got a ticket to an expensive pay trip to Aruba and a cruise. Instant Karma. Thank you for listening to Spirit January Edition 2023. Have a wonderful year.